is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let's do it on a Sunday afternoon. Welcome into Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and we've got you covered all afternoon long on this edition of the program. A couple of baseball games yet to start. We'll get to in a second. We'll lay out what we have going on for the afternoon. As there are some baseball games currently wrapping up, we'll get you updated scores in just a moment. We'll preview Wimbledon coming up in a little bit. Pam Maldonado from ESPN and Tennis Channel will check in, give us her best plays for that. Later on, we'll preview Sunday Night Baseball. It's the Twins at the Tigers. And Johnny Cain, FanDuel Sports in Detroit, will join us and look at Tarek Skubal and what he's done to the Tigers. And can we buy them at about 7-1 for the World Series? We've got 54 days until college football, people. 67 until the NFL starts. That's 10 Sundays from today. We'll be kicking off NFL football. And since we're at the baseball halfway point when it comes to the games played for the most part, we will evaluate where we sit and look for bets that are worth placing in baseball second half. And speaking of baseball, Will, let's begin with the two baseball games that are about to get going here, where I found a few bets that I really liked that jumped out to me, despite them not being the two most attractive teams on the betting board this afternoon. Let's go first with 4:07 p.m. Eastern time. It's the Washington Nationals in Anaheim taking on the Angels. Mitchell Parker on the hill for Washington, plus $1.08 with him. Angels, it's Kochanowicz, minus 131. Total is 10 in this one. And Washington won 15-9 on Friday. Angels took Saturday 8-2. Washington's lost 3 of 4. Angels have won 4 of 5. They're one back in the wild card somehow. What are you thinking if you were going to play this game?
Yeah, one of my favorite rivalries here, just a fierce rivalry between the Nationals and the Angels. I actually, believe it or not, watched a lot of this game last night, and I didn't even have any money on it. I was just sitting there. I don't know. I was flipping through the channels. It was the only baseball game on for a good while, the way the schedule was layered with all the 4 o'clock Eastern games, a couple 7 o'clock Eastern games. This was the only one that was still on. It was a throwback Kyle Hendricks and Mike Soroka pitcher's duel through 5 or 6. It reminded me like 2019 flashbacks. That being said, we've seen some offense, some runs here in this series. I would look towards an over if anything. I know it's high, but Parker's not very good. He doesn't miss a lot of bats. Kochanowicz, he's a guy who's shown promise in the past, more of a control specialist, but he doesn't miss a lot of bats. He's been bad this year. So, you know, you're going to see some scoring here, I would think. The total's high. I don't mind the idea of taking the half run in the first five with Washington. You got to pay like $1.40. That's usually when you're indifferent on the side. That's not a bad way to go. But I would look towards an over, and I probably wouldn't bet at this if there were, you know, 15 other games starting. You don't want to just bet it just to bet it, just have action. That being said, what do you like here? What jumps out to you? Side, total, props, anything?
Yeah, I've got a few, but I need to know if you're okay, because there isn't a 1-800 number for you to call if you're watching a game that you don't have a bet on and it's Angels Nationals. Like, there's a deeper problem that we need to evaluate and dive into here, Will. You don't have a bet on it. You're watching these two teams. With that said, look, I found a couple of plays here. You mentioned Mitchell Parker. He's 5-8 on the year, 4.59 ERA, but 5.70 on the road. Kochanowicz, you mentioned, really bad in June, 6.65 ERA. I have a couple props I'm going to look at. And the Angels are just 21st in OPS against southpaws this year, but they do have guys that for their careers have done a lot better against lefties, even if the numbers don't bear that out this season. So guys that jumped out to me would be Joe Adell, Taylor Ward, Soler, Neto, Ohapi. Those are the guys that traditionally do pretty well against lefties. So I'm going to go Parker over 5.5 hits allowed at minus 121, because I do think the Angels get to him here. And then we'll also factor in the two guys that I want to target in that Los Angeles lineup. Joe Adell over 1.5 total bases, minus 103. Taylor Ward over 1.5 total bases, plus 108. Ward's had a couple hits the last couple nights, hit a homer a couple days ago. I think he's going to get back on track, and he's, for his career, about a 285 hitter against lefties. So that's where I'm going to look, where I just expect this Angels offense to do something against Parker. I just don't know how much. So I'll back those two and I'll go against Parker in the hits market. The other game about 6 minutes away from first pitch here is in Arizona. You've got the Marlins at the D-backs, Cal Quantrill on the hill for Miami, plus 153. Eduardo Rodriguez, the lefty, minus 188, but this one's been coming down all morning. I want to say I saw 198 this morning, might have been over $2 last night. And the total's 8.5 in this game. Marlins on a 6-game win streak, going for the sweep in Arizona. Words I didn't expect to say a few weeks ago. And as I mentioned, Arizona on a bit of a skid, losing 3 in a row, Will. How would you play Marlins D-backs?
Yeah, the red-hot Miami Marlins here, 6 in a row. They've played well. They've scored a lot of runs, scored a bunch of runs in that Giants series, scored a bunch of runs with a comeback victory yesterday, a game you and I were monitoring. You gave out some live overs that you liked that all got home. So I think this game is closer than the market thinks. If anything, I would take the plus price here. Rodriguez has been okay as of late, but he has not been great. The Marlins have been hitting. Quantrill's nothing great here, but I just think this is a little bit inflated. It just goes to show you, it's baseball. It's 162 games. When you get a team like Miami that's red hot, they're swinging the bats as well as they are. It's just every team's going to get hot. Every team's going to get cold. This is a perfect example of that. No Corbin Carroll for Arizona. So I do think there's a little value here on Miami. I could see taking the plus price and the old take a half a run in the first five. That probably applies here as a good situation. It's a little too, I like it when there's a pitcher's duel, when it's a lower total. It's a little too high to be an ideal situation, but I think this is a fairly even matchup compared to the markets. I like the plus price here with Miami. I don't think you can really lay it and think you're having value with Arizona. How are you looking at this game? How are you playing it?
Yeah, I've got a couple plays. I'm going to go over on the game. I just think that we're going to have a lot of run score. Miami's surprisingly middle of the road against lefties this year. Guys like Kyle Stowers and Dane Myers, they both have really good numbers against lefties this season. And while Rodriguez faced the Marlins back on April 17th, Will, he went 5 1/3, only allowed one earned. He did allow 3 total runs, but 10 hits. 10 hits and 5 1/3 meant he was working himself in and out of trouble. And I think because of that, it's a Miami team that sees the ball well against him. They're obviously playing confidently, which means they're seeing the ball well right now. And I look at Cal Quantrill on the other side. I'm going to go over 2.5 earned runs allowed at minus 137 juice. He has a 6.17 road ERA versus 4.91 at home. He doesn't miss bats. He is a contact guy through and through. Arizona has scored versus Quantrill earned runs in his last 3 starts against the D-backs. 3 earned runs, 5 earned runs, 4 earned runs. So he's cleared 2.5 in all of that. I think he allows at least 3 earned runs today on the road at Arizona, where that ball can jump out of that ballpark on any given day. So Quantrill over 2.5 earned runs, over 9 in that one. Nats Angels, Parker over 5.5 hits allowed. Adele and Ward over 1.5 total bases. All of my picks, all of Will's picks, all the picks from every single show available to you at VSiN.com/picks. Just become a pro and subscribe right now, and you'll be able to see every single pick from every single show. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We'll preview Sunday Night Baseball later on in the show, where maybe the dog is just at a stupid number where you have to.
Oh, man.
As Will mentioned in his handicap just now, sometimes you just take the number because baseball's a weird game. Last I looked, the Minnesota Twins, Will, were plus 236. I love Tarek Skubal, but can we acknowledge that that is a ridiculous number in this spot?
I hate to say this, but we have complete agreement. I thought the same thing. You know what? That's just that's inflated. Part of it, I think, too, is Sunday Night Baseball, standalone spot. Who's going to sit there and want to bet the Twins? You're going to get a lot of people looking to play the Tigers, either throw them in moneyline parlays, even though this time of year you don't have much to moneyline parlay them with. It's not like there's an NBA or NHL game tomorrow where you can, parlay them with the Thunder as a big favorite tomorrow. But people laying the run in half, people see Skubal, so... Yeah, I think there's some value on the Twins. Throwing, Skubal's not been great the last couple times. Yeah. He's looked more human. He gave up 4 runs pretty early against the A's. His velocity was down a couple starts ago. So I think this is just inflated. This is basically, throwing up that red stop sign and saying, don't bet the Tigers. We don't want any more Tigers money. That's a pretty nice number on the Twins. And some of the other markets, some of the derivatives, like the team total. I saw one book, team total for Minnesota was 2.5. You're going to get 9 at-bats to the road team. 2.5, that's just... That's stuff you don't really see. A first half total, it's just you think Skubal here can be hit and can be a little bit vulnerable. And when you're taking plus 235, plus 240, all you got to do is get a couple runs, get a lead, and you can buy back and lock in a profit if that's the route you wanted to go to. I agree, though. It would be Twins in some form or fashion or nothing.
It's the second to last day of June, which means the most wins in July market is up and available everywhere. I have 4 teams I'm going to throw your way, Will, and I'm warning you right now. I'm going to have to do a sell job because I'm going deep. We're looking to back some teams that are backing into July. They're not playing very good baseball. They have big, fat, juicy numbers. I do think there's one at 22-1, which would be the shortest of the options I'm going to send your way. I think you can get on board with the one at 22-1. So we will see if we can find a team to back together for most wins in July later in the show. And as I mentioned before, it's the halfway point for baseball. So we're going to go division by division, award market by award market, see what there is that's worth betting. If there's any long shots and flyers, Will and I for weeks have been saying, you know, a year ago, we weren't talking about the Mets making the postseason. Well, who's this year's Mets? Is it the Braves? Is it the Orioles? Is it the Royals? Or is it someone shorter? There's a team that we're all not factoring in the playoff picture. Will and I will try to narrow that down later on in the program. Also, the Rocket Classic final round currently ongoing. Chris Kirk is in first place. Right now, I'm trying to see the score. 21 under, it looks like, right now, through 12 today for Kirk. I'll keep you updated. It's a lot of names I don't recognize, Will. That's the thing I noticed about golf. There's the majors. There's some of the bigger events. And then everyone that you know is out of these middle-tier events. I don't know what has happened to golf.
Speaking of golf, I don't know that we've talked about this since, but we were doing the U.S. Open show, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Tracking all of the odds, just the first five guys kept rotating, whether it was Scott and Burns and all these guys. We didn't mention J.J. Spawn's name once all day, and he comes out of nowhere a minute off after we get off the air and wins it. That was wild.
No, well, we did in the sense that we watched him melt down on a hole and have like a triple bogey or something. We're like, I guess he's out of it. And he ends up winning the whole thing. So that's what happened there. Hey, there were some teams that we thought were out of it today. They end up winning baseball games, including one sluggish offense that may have righted the ship. And tell me, do you believe in team meetings? The scoreboard today would tell you they don't matter. We'll discuss the early games next on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Live Bet Sunday, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Will Hill at Not The Will Hill over on X. I'm Dustin Sweetelson at Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting live from Circa in downtown Las Vegas. Busy day in sports, a lot going on. The NBA owns the month of July, in case you didn't know. I know it's the end of June, but they do this thing at the end of the year where technically free agency begins tomorrow. But trades are starting to happen more and more today. We have a lot of drama concerning one LeBron James we'll touch on. But the big story coming out of the association, Will, right now involves Malik Beasley of the Detroit Pistons. So this broke earlier today. Sham Sharania reporting, U.S. District Attorney's Office is investigating Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games or prop bets, sources told ESPN. Serious development surrounding one of the top NBA free agents. He also reported that Beasley and the Pistons were actually working on a three-year, $42 million extension, which has now been paused. NBA spokesman Mike Bass, quote, "We are cooperating with the federal prosecutor's investigation. Allegedly, Will, this happened in 2023-24. And Beasley's attorney, Steve Haney, told ESPN, an investigation is not a charge. Malik is afforded the same right of the presumption of innocence as anyone else under the U.S. Constitution. As of now, he has not been charged with anything, but we've seen this story play out very recently with Jonte Porter and what went on with him over the last calendar year with the allegations of him working with a sports betting syndicate. Now we see Malik Beasley is alleged to be involved in something involving NBA games and prop bets. What do you make of the story?
How dumb can these guys be? I mean, I hate to be harsh, but geez, where there's smoke, there's usually fire. You know, the odds that there's nothing here and he's completely exonerated, I guess it's possible, but I would make that slim. I mean, you're looking at a three-year, $42 million contract, and you just, man, he give it all away because you wanted to play some NBA bets. And, you know, we know how it went down with Porter, if you believe those reports, and everything seemed, you know, pretty substantiated that these guys, they lose money, they lose more money, they get in a hole, and the only way to get out of it, or one way to get out of it, is, you know, they manipulate their own props. And, you know, I don't know if we know the details of what Beasley's involved in yet, so not going to speculate, but just ridiculous. And what really, I noticed with all of these allegations, anytime these players, and it seems to be a lot of the NBA players, we haven't really had any baseball issues unless you think Ohtani was not on a level, which I could understand if you think that. Football, it's harder to do. We've had Ridley placed parlay, but it wasn't on his team. Yeah. That wasn't manipulating anything. That was different. It's a lot of the NBA guys, and I think it makes sense because the stats can be cheap. Stats, yep. You know, rebounds, you can either get them or not. You know, baseball, you're not going to go up there and strike out on purpose. So there's more obscure niche stats with basketball that can be manipulated. But it's remarkable. It always takes like a year or two to find out. Like, this was happening in 23, 24. We're sitting here the summer of 2025 just finding out about it. So that's unusual. I don't know. What's your takeaway from all this other than, geez, these guys are just the common sense shooting themselves in the foot. It's hard to believe.
Well, the big deal with this is always them getting caught, right? And how did they get caught? They got caught because of legalized betting. And there are some people that say this is what happens when you get in bed with sports betting. But the reality is these props were available in other markets that were not regulated for years and could have been manipulated by these players and no one ever would have noticed. In this instance, the only reason we know that this was going on and there's something fishy happening is because of the regulation, because there's people monitoring what's happening here. So that's the big part of it. One, we're only knowing about the story because of legalized sports betting. Secondly, I need to know what happened here. I need a little more details. Was he manipulating his own props where he was betting on himself or having people bet on himself? I would assume that meant unders. And as you said, it's very easy. Just grab one less rebound, miss one more shot. If you know you're on the edge of the amount of three-pointers you have made or points that your number was set at, all of that is very easily manipulated by a player. Or is this stupid where he's letting someone bet on his account because the money's in there where you can just Venmo it to someone? I'm creating situations here because I don't want to believe anyone is dumb enough to be named Malik Beasley, a name that, if you know anything about sports, you will recognize his name. He's been on a lot of teams for a long time in the NBA. You can't be that stupid to think that you're not going to get caught if it's something as obvious as your name being involved in the story. I think that's the biggest thing for me. I don't want to believe people are that dumb.
I think the thing I saw was that there was unusual activity around his props, and I think specifically rebounds, which makes sense. I mean, that's the one that
it's an effort.
You know, you could just not crash the glass as much. So I don't know that it's his betting or it's the fact that, all right, everyone was betting Beasley. And that's something that if people are betting at it, betting on that and just betting on it just unusually, that's going to stick out like a sore thumb. Like, people were trying to get, and this was how Porter got caught. And it's just, again, so stupid. When these guys are just, it's how you get caught. It's people trying to bet millions of dollars combined, 500 grand on, you know, Porter unders. That's going to stick out. So it's not just like a grand here, grand there. It's something where it's so unusual that it gets people's attention. It's such a niche prop. Attempted wagers were so high that it set off alarms. So my guess is it was that, and just crazy. But no, you bring up a good point that the fact that it's regulated here is what gets it caught.
Yeah, but look, Malik Beasley's 28 years old. He's been in the league for a minute now, right? Like, this is a guy who made $7 million a year ago. He's made $59 million in his career. There's got to be a bigger story to why he's involved. This isn't Jonte Porter. This isn't a guy on a two-way contract who's just trying to scratch together, like, extra money, right? Because the second you get sent down, it affects your wallet in that instance. This is a guy who's made almost $60 million in his NBA career. Right. And had he signed the extension that Shams Charania is reporting, we're looking at $100 million in a 10-year career, right? He's 28 years old. So about, $100 million over the course of 8-9 years in the NBA. I need more details. I need to know why he was pushed to do this. Like, what led to this? Because it sounds like he was involved with the wrong people, potentially. I don't know how it's possible to make $60 million and want to manipulate your own prop bets for another couple, $100,000 million or what? There's a lot we don't know. This story's just getting started. As I'm looking up, Taylor Ward, I believe, just cashed our over total bases prop with a double in the right field. Was he able to get the second? Yep. Unless they mark that an error, Will bobble in the right field corner. We've had issues with this in the past. What is the scorer going to rule this play? Right fielder bobbles it, throws it into second. Ward's on second. Do you think I get a double here?
I didn't have it on. I'm watching Rockies Brewers. I'm sweating out my Rockies under 9.5 wins for June, which is a couple outs away from cashing, 5 outs away. So I will have to get back to you with a ruling. It's interesting on the Beasley stuff. You bring up all the money he's made. That's the thing, though. These guys, they have extra money. Obviously, they have discretionary income, and they like to bet. They like the competitiveness, some of them. And when you're betting, when you have $60 million or whatever you've made, you know, you and I betting $50, $100 on something, that doesn't do it. That's not going to get the juices flowing for them. So when you have that much money, you have to bet more to make it fun. And then you just, you hit a bad run where you lose 6-7 in a row. You're talking a lot of money. And you're, oh, man, how do I get this money back? I owe these people money, whatever the case may be. And then stuff like this comes in. Just again, a lot of this, you and I speculating, but we've seen this, how this plays out before, and that's usually how it goes.
No, you're right. This is pure speculation that maybe he was betting big amounts that he couldn't get down at a legal book and got in with the wrong people, and now he has to pay off that debt, and that's how he does it. This is pure speculation. We do not have any information, but that is usually how these stories tend to go. It's really the only way it makes any sense. It's almost like the solution for these athletes, if they want to bet, is you have to bet with the, like, lean into it. You have to bet with the league partnered sports books, and it's regulated in a way where, like, not encouraged, but like, sure, bet on football, bet on baseball. You obviously can't bet on the NBA though, right? Bet on the other sports. It's like, encourage them to get involved in that versus what he's got going on here, where this should be lifetime ban stuff if you get caught manipulating betting in any way, shape, or form. We've seen that in the past with other sports, and I think that will hold true in this case if it ends up being in fact true that Malik Beasley was manipulating stats. Because I'll tell you this, there were a few games this year where I had Malik Beasley over points, over three-pointers made, and over PRA, where I was like, great, especially against the Knicks during the season and even during the postseason, where magically Malik Beasley was on a heater, and then the Knicks came to town and didn't defend shooting guards well, and somehow Malik Beasley, a shooting guard, didn't perform as expected. I'm not accusing. I'm just saying when I heard the name, it added up to me.
And here's the thing. Like Silver was very hard on Porter, as he should have been, so that's it, lifetime ban. It's very easy for Silver to do this when it's not a star player. It's not, it's not a Jokic, LeBron, whoever. It's very easy to say, you know what, you're a role player, a fringe player, even though Beasley's a useful player. We're not tolerating this. We don't want this black cloud around our league. We're going to make an example of him. It'd be very difficult if it's like an Ohtani in baseball. If it's a huge star, then you find a way to sweep it under the rug. I feel like it's interesting that anytime this stuff comes out, it's more of these fringe players.
Yep. By the way, Angels on the board first against the Nationals. They're up 1-0 in that late game that started. And we've got a lot going on today when it comes to sports, but there's more coming overnight. Wimbledon's gonna get going. Are we gonna get a rematch? Alcaraz, Sinner, the French Open was a legendary performance. Will we get a repeat going to jolly old England? Pam Maldonado from ESPN joins us next to preview it on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Dustin Sweetelson, Will Hill with you for the next couple hours here on Live Bet Sunday. It's VSEN, the sports betting network. Thanks for making us part of your day wherever you may be. SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course the VSEN Watch app. A lot happening in sports. We've got golf, we've got baseball. And tonight, or technically tomorrow morning, we'll have tennis. And we'll get to that momentarily as Pam Maldonado, ESPN Tennis Channel, going to join us here. But want to tell you about a new sports betting market in town first, and it's called XCUTTA, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. XCUTTA is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own XCUTTA auctions for you and your crew for any sport or any sporting event, including Wimbledon. That is happening this week. You can even bring up your own local golf tournament, the World Series, basketball, March Madness. It's all available there. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, players, and drivers in the database with the ability for you to add more. Free practice auctions now running daily at 3:06, 9 p.m. at xcutta.com. And for a 3-month free bidding subscription, email support at xcutta.com and mention VSIN, xcutta.com, the future of future wagering. And as I mentioned, we are going to preview Wimbledon here with Pam Maldonado, who you all know from all of her time on the network, and she's going to help us get ready for the event because I don't know about Will, but I am not a tennis guy. However, I am excited based on the way Roland Garros ended, where we had Alcaraz, we had Sinner, we had one of the great matches of all time, Pam. So I want to start there as we look ahead to this event, and thanks for doing this. Do you believe, with them at the top of the betting board, we are due for a Wimbledon final, including Alcaraz versus Sinner again?
I will agree with you first off that the Roland Garros final between Alcaraz and Sinner was, as a tennis obsessed fan, it automatically went into my top five, and it really teeters right there into the top three. Are we going to see a rematch? I'm going with no, and it's because it starts and ends with Sinner. World number one, absolutely bulldozing through every opponent that he faces, except he's 0-5 against Alcaraz. Now, the problem for me is, to me, Sinner is not yet proven on this surface, because if you look at his record, he's 13-4 at Wimbledon, but his record comprises mostly of players who are clay court specialists. So he hasn't been fully tested against somebody that can absolutely rattle him on a faster surface like this. And yes, he has a massive serve, and that's kind of what we know him to be now. But I just feel like there's so many opponents in his draw that it looks easy on paper, but I think it could be a little bit more nuanced. One of those being like Corentin Moutet. Even if he faces Djokovic, I think Djokovic is way too skilled on the surface to be outmaneuvered by him on grass. So I don't think we're going with the final. And honestly, as a fan, I hope to not have a final. As a bettor, no. And as a fan, no.
Sticking with the outright market, if you had to take a shot on somebody else, not Sinner, not Alcaraz, Djokovic in the plus 650 range, is that a possibility? Draper at 18-1, and anyone else, you know, people that have free bets, boosts, what direction would you go here for an outright?
I think grass is such a special type of surface that there really are only three contenders that can truly win this. Jannik Sinner being one of them, Carlos Alcaraz, of course, back-to-back titles. And then Djokovic is the player that I did take a flyer on. And it's so crazy that we're saying that, right? Because he's a seven-time Wimbledon champion. But 6-1 is what I tweeted a few weeks ago. The odds haven't shifted. And I honestly, truly believe that Djokovic is the long shot that that should scare everyone, because he's not a long shot in the true sense of the form. He has seven Wimbledon titles and he has a chip on his shoulder. Sinner might be at the top seed, but after that, getting that loss to Alcaraz in Paris, he did have some coaching changes in recent weeks and an early exit in Halle, he's not allowed to even make it to the semis in my mind. So if that's the case, Novak does have the potential to either avoid Sinner entirely or get through him into the semifinal, which we could see Djokovic and Alcaraz. And if this is a five-set heartbreak in 2023, he lost in straight sets last year, but I need people to remember that Djokovic was fresh from surgery and had to skip Roland Garros in order to even play Wimbledon. So this is a different type of Djokovic. What we've seen so different from like Federer and Nadal when they retired was their bodies literally said, nope, I'm done. Do you see that from Djokovic? Because he looks pretty mighty fresh to me. He's just trying to figure out, how do I beat these guys? So this is his revenge tour on grass. He still rules. He's still the king. I'm not ready to crown Carlos Alcaraz just yet.
I'm ready. I love it. As a 40-year-old, I'd love to hear a 38-year-old is not toast yet completely, Pam. Pam Maldonado is our guest, ESPN betting analyst, tennis channel at PamelaM35 on X. And a million different ways to attack these events, right? Especially early on when we have so many matches going on. I'm going to butcher the names, but I'm going to do my best. Cameron Norrie. I think I got that one right. Versus Roberto Bautista Agut. I'm seeing Norrie minus 120, Agut minus 110. I killed it, didn't I? I did not get the last name right. But I'll
Agut,
let you correct.
I've never heard one. That was brand new. Agut.
Agut. Whatever. I'm American. It's unfortunate. Look, that's where we're at. Minus 120 on Norrie, 110 on Agut. Agut. That doesn't sound real. How are we going to play this matchup?
I like the over 39.5 on this one. I like a lot of set spreads when it comes to majors. I'm thinking matches that can go four sets or even the full five. And this is one of those matches that I see a full five being played. Because both of these players, Cam Norrie and RBA, you can shorten his name that way. They're both grinders. They're both backboards. And neither of them necessarily have the firepower to knock the other one out. Norrie is the question mark in 2025 because his form has been a bit shaky. But because he is that backboard, he's really difficult to finish off in straight sets. And RBA, he brings that return game. He's super experienced on grass. Secretly, like, hey, wickedly good, and he doesn't really give away some free points. So for me, I'm seeing this as five sets, tight scores, 6-4, 7-5, pushing this over. So I like the over 39.5. And if you like being risk averse, then calling this in five sets would be the play.
The women's side, let's stick with outrights here. I see it, and I see Iga at 9-1, and I see value just as a, you know, casual fan, the name, the number. Is that a square way of thinking? Her, anyone else here you like, if you're looking to take a stab on the women's side?
Automatically, Iga Świątek is not somebody that I necessarily would ever even consider right off the back for grass, because it's such a different surface than that of clay. She absolutely reigns on that surface, but grass is such a different beast. It's very quick points. It's serve and volley. You're not really playing from the baseline. It's who can attack at the net, and that's just not really her game. She doesn't really come with loads of power compared to other players like an Alina Rybakina and Aryna Sabalenka, even Sakari. Like, there's a lot of players who just come up with so much more massive power. And honestly, on the women's side, it is a big train wreck. I was trying to do the draw for this one, and I'm like, I don't know. Sabalenka is a rightful favorite at plus 260 because out of anyone, she checks every single box when it comes to who can excel on grass. And that's her massive serve, massive forehand, backhand. She's strong from both wings. She has the movement. She can do quick points at the net, serve, volley. But the problem is she has an opponent in the third round, Vondrousova.
Hey, it's hard.
She's lost back-to-back matches too. So is that a mental thing? Because this is only a best of three. So I don't love the price at plus 260. Sabalenka would make sense. If I was trying to take a flyer on somebody, it would be Jessica Pegula at 25-1. She is the only player on the WTA side who has won a title on every surface this season. And she is just like wicked variety along with the power and the court sense. And honestly, she has one of the cleanest draws, and she's a 25-1 long shot. Like, to me, that just screams mega value because she has the tools to disrupt some of the big hitters like a Sabalenka, like a Rybakina. So because of that, I would say Pegula would be the long shot. But honestly, the WTA is kind of wide open.
Okay, I love it. I love it. All of Pam's picks going to be available at VSiN.com/picks. Let's try and squeeze one more in here, Pam, in about 90 seconds. Fernley and Fonseca. Nailed those two. Those were easily. Fernley plus 160, Fonseca minus 225 favorite. How would you play this matchup?
I love the underdog in this one. I'm going to go with Fernley because he's got the weapons, and Fernley's got the home crowd. He's got the grass court comfort, and he's got the game to hang around. So even if he does lose, he keeps this one tight because he's not really in the player skill set to get rolled. +3.5 games is how I would back him. And I would sprinkle a little bit on the money line because in order for Fonseca to win, he needs to dominate from the baseline. And that's just not what he can do on grass because this isn't his surface. So +3.5 is something that you're getting better value on than the money line with less risk, but I like grass, and it's only 1 month. It's Wimbledon comes once a year, so I'm firing on the money line as well. Fernley +3.5 games and +170 on the money line against Fonseca.
Awesome stuff. She's Pam Maldonado. Give her a follow at PamelaM35 on X. ESPN, you see her there. Tennis Channel does awesome work. Next time we talk, though, we'll bring up names that I could pronounce much easier, like Steve Sarkisian and Arch Manning and Kirby Smart. Okay, Pam, because college football is right around the corner, and you do an awesome job with everything. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
That was good stuff.
Thanks, Pam.
Wimbledon, it's going to be early for us out here west, Will. 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 a.m. for you. Are you an early riser? Would you flip it on?
I'm having a hard time paying attention, Dustin. I am one out away from Rockies under 9.5 wins, 2 outs in the ninth. I have +2 the other way, so I'm looking at a very nice middle week.
Oh, I love earlier, it.
But I'm sweating over here. I am McGill versus Arcia here for my lung.
I love to hear someone sweating out a good middle, but the reality is you will watch Wimbledon because you watched Nationals and Angels last night and didn't good have point. A bet on it. So if sports are on, Will's watching. And we've got it all covered for you on the other side of Live Bet Sunday. Oh, man, there's a lot we have to discuss right now. My man Will Hill is going through it live on the air. Welcome back into the show. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Will Hill. I'm live in downtown Las Vegas, where this place, good vibes. Good vibes right now with the day baseball, with a little WNBA, some people sweating out the golf. It's a good time. Come hang out. Buy me a beer. Buy me a Diet Coke. One of those things, I'll take either one. If you want to hang out and chop it up a little bit. As Will and I'm just trying to delay here to see if he can catch himself, because for those that don't know, Will has a bet on the Colorado Rockies under 9.5 wins for the month of June. And they're sitting at 9, I believe, right, Will? And they were about, give me the facts, under 9.5 wins, 9.5 wins, right?
Under 9.5 wins. I played it like -110. Then I wanted some plus money, so I parlayed it with the Thunder to win the title. This was right before the month. Gave it out on VEASAN, gave it out on these shows.
And what just happened? What just happened? Bottom of the ninth.
2-1 in the ninth.
Or top of the ninth.
Two outs, nobody on, one out away from cashing, in Orlando Arcia hits a curveball to left field. It is high, as far as gone, and we are now 2-2 heading to the bottom of the ninth. And I did, not only do I have the Rockies under 9.5 wins for a decent chunk, I did want to get a little back and just make sure I turned a profit, but I want to just hedge a little bit. So I took the Rockies plus 2 runs today. So I was sitting on a very nice middle, and I could have just played over 3.5 as a little insurance because, look, you're one out away. But who would have thought with one out away that you don't want to give any back? So still have a chance at the middle here, but anytime you get that close and it doesn't happen, you just feel like you're not going to get it. So one out in the ninth, the bottom of the ninth now, Milwaukee's up. Contreras led off the inning. Looked like it might be a base hit off the middle, but the second baseman made a nice play. Contreras is slow, and so we have one out here as we might be going to extra innings. Just very, very frustrating.
I mean, but one, you have a bullpen edge in Milwaukee here, which is on your side. And two, we both know how it works with the gambling gods. Had you not hedged at all, right, you would have probably lost outright. Because you hedged, you were sitting in a good position there. So I would say for you, you're not in a bad spot. It's not over yet. You still need the better team to win. So let's just let it play out here. Arcia against one of his former teams came up in a big spot.
Infield single.
But yeah, I'm looking right now. Is that Bryce Terang beats out an infield single? Boom. All right. Yes. He may steal second too because he's fast. So if Terang can get in scoring position with one out, Hoskins is up, followed by Collins and Durbin. I mean, if he can get in scoring position for Hoskins here, you're not dead. You're not dead. You'll avoid extra innings.
He's going. Throw to second is not in time. The ball goes in the outfield, but Terang did not see it. He could have gotten up and gotten to third, but he had the way he slid, it looked like he got banged up going in the base. He could have very easily popped up, headed into third, and been on third with one out. This is a lot of fun, isn't it? Jeez.
You've got Halverson on the hill for Colorado right now. Not Dana Holgorsen.
Are you
Halverson
watching?
I've got the game pulled up here. I'm watching, and I predicted that steal before it happened. I just want to point that out. I knew Terang was going first pitch.
Great call.
I mean, dude, he's awesome. Bryce Terang has become one of my favorite players in baseball. He is a throwback. He would fit in any era with his style. And now you need Rhys Hoskins, who takes a questionable pitch for a ball that probably should have been a strike. So you're in a 1-1 count with a guy who can mash. But more importantly, you just need him to make some contact here. If he just bloops one in, Terang scoring from second. I also don't love the outfield arms for the most part for Colorado. So something shallow, I may take the chance and send him. And he swings at a up and in 100-mile-an-hour fastball way out of the zone. So Hoskins now behind in the count 1-2, Will, where you have to imagine you'll see a breaking ball. And again, a bloop is as good as anything. I mean, you'd actually prefer a bloop to something hit too hard where it's a pop-up. So he'll probably get a breaking ball, waist pitch at 1-2, waist pitch, slider away. Now back to even. I'm curious how Colorado pitches Hoskins here because he's so much more of a threat than Collins in the 7th hole, Durbin in the 8th hole, and then Joey Ortiz in the 9th hole. I think they'll be careful with Hoskins here. I'm not sure with first base open, he's going to see another pitch in the strike zone.
And he just lays off a 90-mile-an-hour breakout open. We can also, the Rockies, their bullpen's no good, their pitching's no good. This kid's throwing 102, 103. There's nothing wrong with this kid's arm, Halverson. So, we talked yesterday about how Freeland, Marquez, maybe you call them up trying to get their arms. This kid throws the ball. Jeez. And then that was a nasty 90-mile-an-hour slider. Hoskins did lay off. He checks the runner here at second. with a full count, would you think about stealing third if you're Terang?
No, two chances to get a base hit. Yeah, you can score. You score on any hit, and I have a feeling they're pitching around Hoskins and letting someone else beat them. I think he gets another breaking ball here or something slightly out of the zone. I wouldn't let Hoskins beat me.
Down, ball four.
It was down, and that first base was open, so you didn't have to force anything over the plate. And with that, that'll bring up Collins. Who is Collins? I don't know who that is. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I'm not going to pretend I know everyone, but I don't know who. Is it Zach Collins, the center in the NBA?
Yes.
He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We're sweating out a bet here. Will's got a lot riding on this. He's got Rockies under 9.5 wins for the month of June, parlayed with the Thunder to win the title at plus money. Orlando Arcia in the top of the ninth tied this up at twos, where it was looking like Will was going to cash his bet. And now we're in the bottom part of the ninth, and the Brewers are threatening with two on and one out. And there's a pinch runner at first, which I feels irrelevant because that run doesn't matter. I guess with one out, you can make it more difficult for them to get that guy on a weird play. But
that worth it, though, to go to extras and lose the bat? Is that really worth it?
Yeah. Well, you better score here. That's what I would say, right? Like, if you're going to make a big move like that, you better finish the job when it counts. So it's 2-2, bottom nine here for the Brewers at the dish, trying to walk it off and beat the Rockies. Yeah, I've been trying to look up who Collins is. Is it Isaac Collins?
Isaac Collins, man. Have the moment of your life. And by the way, do not go deep here because I have plus two the other way. So I want the middle. I want a base hit.
Yeah, Will's also sweating a middle on the play. So he just needs one run to score. Collins swings at the first pitch, 101 away. You're right. Dude, this kid's throwing straight cheddar, Halverson.
He's so hard.
Dude, I don't know who this kid is. It's also never a good sign when you're a baseball player and they're like, hey, we're going to give you number 54. You're going to get an offensive lineman number. And that's what Halverson has. But, dude, he's throwing hard in this spot.
He's throwing hard.
He's ahead 0-1 on Isaac Collins, not to be confused with Zach Collins. And pop up out of play, and now it's 0-2 on the kid left fielder. You'd prefer a strikeout than a ground out. So if you're going to make contact in your Collins here, put it in the air, because a ground out's a double play ball potentially, and we're out of this inning, and then we're going to extras. So this is a big one. Big one for Will. Isaac Collins, a 267 hitter in the seventh inning or later this year, which is better than his regular numbers of 255. Dude. You just need something to punch through the infield.
Oh, my goodness. A ground ball down the line just fell. I thought I won it. I thought it was fair. This is absolute torture right now. This isn't even fun anymore. Brewers manager's arguing. He's upset about it. Let's see. Was it the right call? I don't think this is going to be a good angle.
That's very close. Dude, it looked – I'm watching the replay now. In real time, it looked fair. I'm looking now.
Oh, my goodness. No,
it's a foul ball. It's a foul ball.
All right.
I saw the replay. All right. Will needs a run from the Brewers here to cash a big payday. We're all sweating it out together on Live Bet Sunday. By the way, Angels up 1-0 on the Nats in Anaheim. The next pitch is a ball high out of the zone. In Arizona, we're tied up at once. We need the over there. We're on over 9. But more importantly, our guy Will needs a run from the Milwaukee freaking Brewers. Come through one time.
Strike three, horrible swing, slider, just a bad swing. He got fooled on it.
Hey.
Little check swing, and now there's two outs. I'm not going to win this. I would have won it by now. We know how this is going to play out.
Look, I don't know if you're going to win your bet. I can tell you who the biggest winner in this moment is, and that's this kid Halverson on the mound. That is a dirty inside slider.
Yeah, it was nasty.
I mean, he's got good stuff. I've never I'm going to watch Rockies games. Are you kidding me? I don't know who he is, but number 54 on the hill, Halverson. So two outs. You've got Durbin up. Durbin's 0-3 on the day, though, Will.
About to be 0-4, trust me.
You just need one to break through the infield. Just punch it through. All right, you're ahead in the count 1-0. That's big.
Yeah.
That is big in these spots because the pressure's on the pitcher here to do something with a runner in scoring position. Let's see what happens. So, all right, we've got a lot going on. Let me find where we're at.
You got Rockies Brewers to take us through a segment, though, if nothing else.
I mean, that's what America wants, right? I feel like America wants more Colorado Rockies coverage.
Man, I just can't believe the sequence of two out, nobody on. My middle's perfectly set up, and Arcia goes deep, and then to have that ball just be fouled by whatever it was, a couple inches or whatever. It's just very frustrating.
All right, while we're sweating this one out, If you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com, and use the promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Just head to firstbet.com today. And it's a 2-1 count on Durbin. The hitter has the power. He's in the power chair, the power position. Will the Brewers come through in the bottom of the ninth for Will's bet against the Rockies win total? You're going to have to find out on the other side of the break. It's Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.